Please turn in your Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 6. This morning we were considering the manna that came down from heaven in our studies in the life and times of Moses. This evening I want to continue our studies in the life of times of Moses, and I want this evening again to draw your attention to the manna which came down from heaven. This evening I want to preach on the subject, the manna, a type of Christ. In John's Gospel, chapter 6, the Lord Jesus Christ here, when he was in his public ministry upon this earth, he spoke about the manna in the book of Exodus. Let's take our reading up at John's Gospel, chapter 6, and verse 47. The words of the Lord Jesus. So the Saviour here is speaking. And this is what he says. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. Underline these words. Here's the key to everything that Christ is saying here. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Amen. And we know the Lord will bless his word to all of our hearts this evening. Let's bow in a wee word of prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to consider God's truth this evening. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy precious word. We thank thee for the life and witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And O God, we thank thee for his death and resurrection. And we praise thee, O God, that sinners tonight can find life through him. We praise thee that there's life for a look at the crucified one. And, O God, we pray this evening for those in this meeting who are not saved, that you would speak to their hearts and reveal unto them their great need of feasting upon Christ. O God, we thank thee that we as poor sinners can feast upon Christ tonight. We thank thee, Lord, that by faith we can trust in him. We praise thee, Lord, by faith and in repentance we can receive everlasting life through his atoning death for us upon
Mount Calvary. And Lord, we pray this evening that you might be pleased, Lord, to reach down and pluck brands from the burning. Bless us now, we pray thee. O God, as we would consider this subject, the manna, a type of Christ, we pray, Lord, that you would help us to uplift and exalt the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee and we praise thee that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to the Father but through him. But, O God, we thank thee that the Lord Jesus Christ tonight is willing to save to the uttermost all that come to him in true repentance and faith. O God, bless us now, we pray thee. Fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that we might know the help of God as we would preach thy word this evening. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Throughout the 40 years wandering in the wilderness, the children of Israel were fed by the manna which came down from heaven. In Exodus 16, verse 4, we noticed this verse this morning. We read these words, "Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you." This manna from heaven sustained the children of Israel and kept them alive until they reached the promised land. In this manna we see God's provision for the Israelites until they entered the land flowing with milk and honey. And we noticed this morning how that this manna was given to the children of Israel every day for 40 years. Well, in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of this manna which came down from heaven in the days of Moses. That's what we've been reading this evening in John chapter 6, verse 49. The Lord Jesus Christ said to the Jews, "Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness." And then in John 6, verse 51, the Savior describes himself as the bread of life which came down from heaven. Look at verse 51. "I am the living bread which came down from heaven." Therefore, Christ here is using the manna as a type and a picture of himself. Here he is teaching the Jews that as the manna came down from heaven to sustain life in the days of Moses, so Christ has come down from heaven to give eternal life to all those who trust in him as their own and personal Savior. For a few moments tonight at the end of our gospel service, I want us to consider the manna as a type and picture of the Lord Jesus. And very simply, we want to notice the parallels between Christ and the manna. And I pray this evening, if you're in the meeting and you're not saved, that the Lord will speak to your heart and to your soul. Your great need tonight is to feast on Christ. Your great need tonight is to come and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Because he is the only one who can redeem you from hell and save you and bring you to heaven. And I want to emphasize that truth again to you this evening. I pray that God will take his word and write it upon your heart and upon your soul. Your greatest need this evening is to trust Jesus Christ as your own and personal Redeemer. My friend, I wonder, have you ever considered your spiritual need? You have a great spiritual need this evening because of the sin in your life, because of the nature that you've been born with. You need to have your sins forgiven. And the only one who can forgive you for your sins and cleanse you from your sins is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray tonight, ere this meeting goes out into eternity, that you will seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. Now the parallels are simple, but I pray that the Holy Spirit will apply them to the hearts of those in the meeting who are here without Christ. First of all, I want you to notice that the manna was given by God. We have already noticed this even in our study this morning. But look again with me at Exodus 16 and verse 4. We read here that God sent manna from heaven. "I will rain bread from heaven." The manna was food from heaven sent by the God of heaven. It came directly from the storehouse of God. It did not come from the earth. It did not grow in the trees. Rather, it was food which came down from God out of heaven. And when you read the account of the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness, you learn this simple but wonderful truth that God fed his people and that he provided manna which came down from heaven. And of course, as we emphasized this morning, the Lord did that for 40 years as the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. Well, what a picture. What a type we have here of the coming of Christ into this world. Like the manna, the Lord Jesus Christ ascended from heaven to earth. Christ, as the bread of heaven, is the gift of God to this world. Just as God gave the manna, God the Father sent his Son into this world to die upon a cross. Take a look at John 6, verse 51. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. Indeed, several times in this chapter, the Lord Jesus refers to himself as the bread of life coming down from heaven. Look at verse 48. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Look at verse 50. This is the bread, speaking of himself, which cometh down from heaven. Look at verse 58. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Christ states here clearly that he was sent from heaven by the Father. Therefore, the Lord Jesus was sent from heaven to earth by his Father as the bread of life. Here is the parallel. That is, the manna was sent by God. The Lord Jesus, the Son of God, was sent by the Father as the bread of life. Isn't that a wonderful yet simple truth? Oh, my friend, if you're not saved in this meeting tonight, I want you to see that simple truth. And I pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will burn it within your heart and within your soul. The Lord Jesus came from heaven and he was sent by the Father. And of course, the reason why he was sent was in order to die upon the cross, shed his precious blood for your sins and my sins. And we'll be saying more about that just in a moment. But wasn't it a mercy from God? Wasn't it the grace of God? Wasn't it the love of God towards sinners that he sent his only begotten Son? Isn't that what the gospel tells us? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I wonder, at the close of our meeting tonight, have you ever received the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart as your own and personal Savior? Do you know him as your own and personal Redeemer? Oh, thank God, the Lord Jesus came down from heaven, just like the manna. And you'll notice something else here. I want you to notice, secondly, that the manna was given to sustain life. Again, that was a truth that we noticed this morning. But in the context of the message tonight, I want you to see it again. Here we have another parallel. Only for the manna in the wilderness, the children of Israel would have died. They needed God's intervention if they were going to survive the wilderness journey. The manna kept them alive. Also, in this context, we learn very clearly that the manna sustained the children of Israel, not only for a time, but as we emphasize, throughout 40 years wandering in the wilderness. You see, without the manna, the children of Israel would have died as they made their journey to the land that God had promised them, this land flowing with milk and honey, the land of Canaan. Because of this manna, their lives were sustained. The wonderful truth I want to emphasize here, and I want you to grasp, is this. What a picture, a wonderful picture we have here of Christ, the bread of life. You know, the Savior came from heaven to give life, to sustain life. Christ came to give eternal life to those dying in their sin. Take a look there at John 6 and verse 33. And you read these words, for the bread of God is he, speaking of Christ, which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. This reference to the Lord Jesus Christ the Son of God. Here we can see clearly that the bread that came down from heaven came down to give life, to sustain life. This text teaches us simply that the Lord Jesus came down to give everlasting life. Indeed, the children of Israel who had manna in the wilderness eventually died because of the normal course of life. The manna only kept them alive for a time in the wilderness. They grew old and they died. But those who partook of Christ and who partake of Christ, the bread of life, will never die. Look at verse 49 of John chapter 6. And you read these words, "Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead." Look at verse 50. "This is the bread," speaking of himself, Christ is here, "which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die." Oh, my friend, if you're in the meeting tonight, you're lost, you're dead in trespasses and in sins, and because of the nature that you've been born with, you're going to die eternally. But here is the wonderful message of the gospel, that the Lord Jesus Christ came down from heaven to give sinners everlasting life, eternal life. Thank God, as far as Christ the bread is concerned, Jesus came to give everlasting redemption, eternal salvation, to save men and women from the depths of their sin and give unto them eternal redemption. Look at verse 53 of John chapter 6. "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you." Now, when Christ speaks here of eating his flesh and drinking his blood, he does not mean literally, of course, and you would know that to be the case. He is speaking spiritually and metaphorically of receiving him by faith as Redeemer. How do I know this? I know this when I read verse 63. Verse 63 is the key. Look at it. "It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Lord Jesus Christ was not speaking literally here of eating his flesh and drinking his blood. No, he was speaking spiritually. And that has to be seen. Very important. The Lord Jesus Christ is the bread of life. He was sent from heaven to earth. He was sent to give life, eternal life, to those who put their trust and faith in him. And thank God, upon the cross of Calvary, he accomplished eternal life. You see, friend, if you want to be saved tonight, you've got to come by faith. That's what it means to eat of his flesh. That's what it means to drink of his blood. To accept by faith what he has accomplished upon the cross of Calvary for you this evening. And thank God you can be saved tonight. You can exercise faith in this finished work of Calvary. You can exercise faith in the Lord Jesus by simply coming and trusting him and accepting him as your own and personal Redeemer. Of course, the Church of Rome takes those words from verse 53 to 56 literally. That's why they believe in transubstantiation. When you study the Bible, however, carefully, you see that the Lord Jesus here is speaking spiritually. The Lord Jesus here is declaring that if men want eternal life, then they must accept him by faith and trust in him as their own and personal Savior. That's why when the Philippian jailer said to Paul, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul said, "Believe, by faith, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Thank God this evening, the vilest offender who truly believes that moment to Jesus, a cleansing, will receive. You tonight can have everlasting life. Why? Because the manna has come down from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, the bread of life, has come down from heaven, and he has come down to give life, to give you life, to give me life, to give sinners life, eternal life. Then thank God we receive this eternal life when we come by faith and in repentance to him. But there's something else I want you to notice here, another parallel. This time I want you to keep your hand in John chapter 6 and turn over for a moment to Numbers chapter 11. I want you to notice, thirdly, that the manna had to be prepared by being ground and baked with fire. I wonder, did you ever notice that when you studied this subject of the manna? It's a very important point. Take a look with me at Numbers chapter 11, verses 7 and 8, and you'll read these words. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the colour thereof as the colour of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it, underline these words, and ground it in mills, or beat it in a mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it. Before the manna could be eaten, it had to be prepared. It had to go through a grinding and a baking process. Oh, my friend, what a picture we have here of the cross and the sufferings Christ went through before he could provide eternal salvation for sinners. As the manna had to be ground and baked and prepared before sustaining life, so Christ had to suffer on the cross of Calvary for man's sin. The Lord Jesus came to die the just for the unjust. Turn over just for a moment to Isaiah 53, a tremendous chapter in the Bible. A chapter that prophesies the death of the Lord Jesus. Look what it says in Isaiah 53 and verse 5. It says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Look at verse 10. And yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. It says here, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Now turn back to John chapter 6 and look with me at verse 51 again. Look exactly what it says. Jesus said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Christ here in this verse is speaking about his death. When did Christ give his flesh for the life of the world? The answer is Calvary. On the cross, the Savior laid down his life, a ransom for the many. God the Father poured out his wrath upon his Son, and there the Lord Jesus bore our hell in his own body upon the tree. He suffered for me. He died for me. He shed his precious blood for me. He went through the fire for me. And all because he wanted to save me from hell and from judgment to come. Oh, I pray tonight that you see the parallel. As the manna had to be ground and baked and prepared, so the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came down to this earth, he had to go to the cross. And there upon Calvary's cross, he had to die for your sins and my sins. And of course, the reason why he had to die for our sins was because we could not die for our own sins. We could not make an atonement for our own sins. In Ephesians 5 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul said, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savour. Oh, he took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary, and he suffered, and he died alone. He laid down his life, a ransom for the many. Oh, we often sing that hymn, and what a lovely hymn it is. Oh, 'twas love, 'twas wondrous love, the love of God to me. It took my Saviour from above to die on Calvary. On the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ paid the sinner's debt. He died in the sinner's place. He became our substitute, our sin bearer, and our Saviour. Well, my friend, if you're not saved in this meeting tonight, it's so important that you see that. You can be saved tonight because of the work of redemption, because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished upon the cross. You can be delivered from hell tonight. You can get into heaven. Don't allow the devil to whisper in your ear that there's no salvation for you. Thank God. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's the wonderful news tonight of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. The bread has come down from heaven. The manna has come down from heaven. Even the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus has come down from heaven to give life, eternal life. And in order to give eternal life, he died and paid the price of man's redemption upon the cross of Calvary. And thank God it was a sacrifice that was well pleasing to the Father, because the Son could cry, "It is finished." And thank God that sacrifice was well pleasing in the eyes of the Father, because the Father could say about the Son, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Oh, surely if God the Father is well pleased with the sacrifice of the Son, then ought we not to be well pleased with the sacrifice of His Son? Listen, you don't, and you can't anyway, work your way to heaven. There's nothing that you can do in order to obtain everlasting life. But thank God, there's nothing that you need to do. Only come. Only trust Him. Only repent of your sin and believe the gospel tonight. Why? Because the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And thank God upon the cross of Calvary. My friend, would you come tonight and feast upon Christ? Would you come tonight and partake of His flesh and His blood? Partake by faith. Trust in Him by faith and turn from your sin. And seek the Lord tonight. And thank God if you do, the Lord Jesus will redeem you, not only for time, but for all of God's eternity. There's one final thought. I suppose we've already emphasized it, but let me emphasize it again. In the context of the message this evening, the manna had to be received before it could do any good to the Israelites. We noticed that this morning, but let us notice it again tonight. Left in the field or in the storehouse or in the tents, the manna would have done no good at all. It had to be partaken of. The Lord provided the manna each morning for His people, the children of Israel, and each morning they partook of it. The children of Israel had a decision to make each day they woke up. Will I partake of the manna? Or will I not partake of the manna? If it was going to nourish and sustain them, they had to partake of it. Left in the field, it was absolutely useless. Oh, let me say again this evening that Christ preached and offered in the gospel will do you no good. It'll do the sinner no good. You must receive Christ tonight. You must step out by faith. How many times have you heard the gospel, yet you remain without Christ? The truth is this, unless you come and partake of the bread of life, your life will never be changed. Your life will never be changed. Oh, I wonder tonight, will you partake of Christ and trust Him as your own and personal Redeemer? It says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." John 6, verse 35, we read these words. "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Oh, notice there the sinner's responsibility. He that cometh to me. We've got to come to Christ. The Lord Jesus said on one occasion, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Here the Lord Jesus Christ says, "He that believeth on me," you've got to believe on Him.
You've got to trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. And thank God He will save you now. And He will save you for all eternity. You see, there's life for a look at the crucified one. There's life at this moment for thee. O look, sinner, look unto Him and be saved, unto Him who was nailed to the tree. And thank God, Christ, the bread of life, will sustain you and satisfy you for all eternity if you would only but come tonight and partake of Him and be saved. I wonder, is there someone here this evening and you've sat under the sound of the gospel all your life? You've been brought up in the gospel. You've been taught the gospel in Sunday school, perhaps even around your mother and your father's knee, but you have never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. My friend, in order for you to be saved, in order for you to get into heaven, in order for you to become part of Christ's family, you must partake of Him. And that means accepting Him into your heart as your own and personal Savior. It means bowing the knee. It means confessing your sin. It means trusting Him. It means calling upon Him. It means believing on Him. Oh, I pray this evening that you will be wise, that even tonight you will turn and seek the Lord while He may be found and call upon Him while He is near. But remember this, that the manna, the bread, has come down from heaven. Even the Lord Jesus Christ. He has made it possible for you and I, guilty sinners, to have everlasting life. All the work has been done. My friend, would you not come and feast upon Him tonight? You know, when a meal is prepared at home, you have a choice whether or not to go to the table and partake of that which is being provided. You must eat to benefit from it. And the Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven. He offers you Himself the bread of life. Will you come by faith and trust Him this evening? And thank God you will leave God's house tonight redeemed, not only for time, but for all eternity. Thank God this manna, speaking of Christ, this manna, which has come down from heaven, He will impart to you everlasting redemption. And no matter how long you live upon this earth, when you come to die, it'll be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Eternal life, that's what it means. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ offers to all those who partake of Him and trust in Him. Let us all pray.